to local radio. 98.3 FM WCQM, Park Falls, a civic media station. This is 98Q Country.
ABC News, I'm Brian Clark. The death toll continuing to rise after Friday's terror attack in Moscow. Russian authorities now say at least 115 people were killed when gunmen stormed a concert hall. Russian officials say they've detained 11 people, and the U.S. says ISIS was responsible for the attack. But journalist Julia Ioffe of PUC, who covers Russia, says this was just a week after Vladimir Putin's election.
Putin was trying to show that he is fully in control of Russia. He's the only ruler. He is undisputed. And this coming just 5 days later is a huge slap in the face.
There's no government shutdown. The Senate passed a $1.2 trillion package of spending bills. There's global shock at the news. Kate, the Princess of Wales, has been diagnosed with cancer. 42-year-old made the announcement after months of speculation as to her whereabouts. And no jackpot winner in the Mega Millions. That bumps the jackpot Tuesday to an estimated $1.1 billion. This is ABC News. There is a new development involving Los Angeles Dodgers superstar Shohei Ohtani and his now former interpreter.
Major League Baseball confirms it's now launching a formal investigation into allegations against Shohei Ohtani and his interpreter. Earlier this week, the Dodgers fired Ohtani's longtime friend and interpreter after an allegation that the interpreter stole millions of dollars to pay off an illegal sports book for gambling debts. But there have been questions what Ohtani knew and if Ohtani had any involvement in those debts. The IRS is also investigating. Alex Stone, ABC News, Los Angeles.
Took 2 days of March Madness for everyone's brackets to break. ESPN says there are no more perfect brackets remaining of the more than 22 million submitted to its contest for the men's college basketball tournament. Big upset winners Friday included 13th seed Yale over 4th seed Auburn and 12th seeds James Madison and Grand Canyon. I'm Brian Clark, ABC News.
For Civic Media News, I'm Terry Bell. Wisconsin is getting some help from Washington to connect rural communities to high-speed internet. Mike Mohn has more.
Governor Tony Evers and the Public Service Commission say Wisconsin's blueprint for digital equity has been accepted by the National Telecommunications and Information Administration. That means the state is eligible for up to $30 million to implement its approach over the next 5 years. Martha Cranley, State Director for AARP Wisconsin, calls it a robust plan, noting that older populations continue to face challenges in being connected to the digital world.
We know that at least 15% of people 50 plus in Wisconsin are not connected, either because the wires simply don't come to their house, or they don't have a device, or they don't know how to use it.
Cranley says the lack of connection is especially concerning in rural areas across northern Wisconsin, where aging communities have limited resources. Stakeholders also note an infusion of new aid is helpful with the federal government's Affordable Connectivity Program, which provides discounts on monthly internet bills for eligible households in danger of running out of money. Cranley says the state's plan came together following extensive public outreach in which her organization helped convey the need for improved internet access for those 50 and older.
They certainly heard from older people about how important this is to connect to their doctor and to connect to government services and frankly find employment.
Overall, Governor Evers says the plan's federal approval means more than 410,000 homes and businesses will be better positioned to be connected to new or improved high-speed internet service. This is Mike Mohn for Wisconsin News Connection. Find our trust indicators at publicnewsservice.org.
You're listening to Civic Media News. I'm Terry Bell.
Here's another community reminder from Civic Media.
Saturday, April 6th, starting at 6 p.m. at the Phillips VFW, it's the Phillips Moose Lodge Bingo. The current progressive jackpot starts at over $1,180, and proceeds are used to support area community projects and events. For more information, you can find them on Facebook at Moose2661. Once again, that is Saturday, April 6th, starting at 6 p.m. at the Phillips VFW.
Leaning into local radio, 98Q Country.
Wisconsin. Johnson goes one and done.
Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. March Madness, the Wisconsin Badgers eliminated from the NCAA tournament. Too many missed shots, too many turnovers. They lose to James Madison University, 72-61. The Badgers season over with a record of 22-14. Marquette with a win over Western Kentucky, 87-69. They'll face Colorado on Sunday. Golden Eagles head coach Shaka Smart.
I thought Western Kentucky played with phenomenal aggressiveness in the first half. Hats off to their team, the way that they competed and battled. Fortunately, Tyler and Cam kept us afloat. You know, we were fortunate to only be down 7 at the half. So just grateful for the response. You know, we talk about building championship habits. One of the most important of those is the way we respond to adversity. And the guys did a great job of that today.
Hockey, the Wisconsin Badgers women's team beat Colgate 3-1. They'll advance to the finals against Ohio State on Sunday. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
This weather update is sponsored by Hansen HVAC Heating and Cooling, your local Armstrong Air dealer of Phillips and Manitouish Waters.
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels. Partly cloudy and much colder tonight as lows drop back into the single digits. For your Saturday, some sunshine for the morning, then a few clouds for the afternoon, high low 30s. Cloudy and breezy for Sunday. Highs in the mid-30s with snow showers developing. Heavy snow possible with a winter storm watch. Right now it's 8 above.
I fish, I hunt, and always will. Broadcasting from the Alclair Outdoor Studios. Presented by OnX. Know where you stand with OnX.
We're not just a radio show anymore.
This is Sporting Journal Radio.
Could our days of fishing Red Lake be numbered? We'll explain what that means coming up in just a little bit. We'll also get a Rainy River update with Joe Henry and James Holst from Norsk Lithium. And In-Depth Outdoors joins us to talk about his transition from the TV show to product development of lithium batteries and what you might want depending on what your setup is. I'm Brett Amundson. Thanks for tuning in. Maybe you're watching this on YouTube. Maybe you're listening on the radio or downloading the podcast. Thank you. That's Dan Amundson over there. What's up, Dan?
Hey.
Hi. Hi. David Eckert over there.
Hello. Hello.
David, don't be alarmed, but you have a moose right behind you.
What? There is.
Danger.
Is that right?
Wow. So supposedly our background wasn't good enough for you before?
Wow. I did hear some complaints. The plain wall. I do have some mounts around me, but you just can't see them in the camera shot. So
yeah, you have a hooster actually behind
you. Like the coolest mount that's in the house.
Yeah,
the office.
We need to figure out a way to get that in the shot. And then a snow goose, Minnesota snow goose of all things.
I was there when you shot that.
Right above. It looks like it's gonna land on your head.
It does look like it.
Oh, it's a snow goose. It's not landing. Not around a person.
It's an adult snow goose.
Yeah.
That's right. Actually, that one did. The funny story with that one, Dan, is it was me, you, and Tony, David, the three of us, and we were starting to pack up. We were climbing out of the layout blinds, and all of a sudden there was a single goose landing in the decoys 3 feet off the ground in front of us. And I was the only one that still had a shell and any gun.
Yeah, we'd been standing for a while. My gun was packed up. Tony's gun was packed up. And you had the sense to not pack up your gun yet. I'm like, oh, here comes a goose. Shoot it.
And now he's right there.
Nope.
About to land on your head. Very good. All right. Welcome to the show. We got a lot to get to. But first, Dan, who are the sponsors this week?
We have Invergrove Toyota, the official truck sponsor of Invergrove Toyota. The official truck sponsor of Fish Hunt Forever is Invergrove Toyota. When looking for your new rig, head to Invergrove Toyota. Haybel Heights Campground and Resort. Fish out of a snow bear on Devil's Lake or book a summer trip to Devil's Lake. Learn more at HaybelHeights.com. Onyx Hunt, landowner information, public land access, and much, much more. Know where you stand with Onyx Hunt. Prairie Sportsman, the new season is underway, and you can watch episodes anytime at the Prairie Sportsman YouTube channel. And Lake of the Woods Tourism. Take one last ice fishing trip to Lake of the Woods or fish the Rainy River this spring or book a summer trip at lakeofthewoodsmn.com.
Maybe ice fish on the Rainy River again. The way things are going.
Yeah.
All right, we'll tell you more about what's going on up at the Rainy here in just a little bit. But we want to mention this, and to be fair, this just happened. I don't know a whole lot about this, so we're just going to kind of read a little bit about this post, read a little bit from this post from JR's corner on Red Lake. They had a big meeting, I guess, in the Washkiss Town Hall. They had a couple hundred people crammed into this place to figure out what's going on. There's a couple of bills in the House and the Senate about giving more land and Upper Red Lake to the Red Lake Nation. So, like, this just happened. I don't know much about this. So they're saying that this bill, if passed, would mean the end of the Big Bug State Park. No more campground, no more Homestead Park, no more public boat landing on the Tamarack River, no more hunting in the Red Lake State Forest. There, it looks, sounds like some farmland would go to the tribe. We'd lose, the county would lose some timber sales revenue and more. So we're going to do a little bit more digging about this. But if you want to continue to fish Red Lake, they're recommending getting hold of your Minnesota representatives, your political leaders, Stauber, Klobuchar, Smith, Governor Walz. This was state ground, public land, public hunting and fishing opportunities that will be going away. So there is something going on up there. So anyway, we're going to learn a little bit more about that, but you could find that post that we're reading about at JR's Corner at Corner Access. That was on Wednesday on Facebook. So, hey, by the way, up in northern Minnesota, we got a little tournament coming up on the Rainier River called the SGR 500. It's a walleye and sturgeon fishing tournament. It's to celebrate the 500th episode of Sporting Journal Radio. That was 3 years ago, 2 years ago, 2 years ago. What episode is this, Dan?
This is week 602. We kind of skated around our 600th episode. David wasn't here. You were in a snow goose spread, and that was our 600th show, and we barely mentioned it. We threw a giant, massive annual tournament now for 600 and
Well, the SGR 500 just had such a good ring to it. I didn't want to change the name, but
I didn't say that. But we just did. We didn't even celebrate 600.
Well, I was snow goose hunting. I was kind of.
I'll tell you what. I'll have a beer. All three of us can. Well, David, you won't be there. I'll have a beer during the SGR 500.
There you go.
To celebrate the 600th show.
I like it.
Does that make sense?
So come and join us. We'll be based out of Riverbend Resort. It sounds like they're going to have some lodging specials going on for you. So give them a call. Tell them you're coming up for the SGR 500. We'll have a bunch of prizes to give away from OnX and some of our other sponsors. We're also going to give cash away, paying back some of the cash from the entry fees and donating money to keep it clean once again this year. It's a two-day fish donkey tournament, catch and release. And right now, it sounds like three of the accesses were open, at least. Are open, we're open. And so we won't be watching the accesses during the tournament like we were the last couple of years. So I'm excited. It's going to be a great time. Learn more at sportingjournalradio.com. Look for the SJR 500. So, guys, I'm excited. The show season is finally over. And, Dan, I know you came out and joined us at the Northwest Sports Show. Did you get a chance to walk around at all?
Nope. I didn't. I sat down at the Tazen Lake Lodge booth, hung out there for the last couple hours of Sunday, and then we went home.
Yeah. So Trevor and I walked around, and I'm like, hey, Dan, we're going to go walk around.
No, you said you were going to go talk to somebody. I said, okay. Well, yeah. It didn't really feel like an invitation. Said, here's what we're going to do. I figured you were going to leave me there to hang out at the booth with Barry, which I did. But you could have said, hey, you want to come with?
Well, I was like, hey, Dan, we're going to go walk around.
That was you and Trevor. We're going to go walk around.
Yeah. Next time I'll say, Dan, please come with.
Well, let me just, if you and David go.
I mean, it wasn't a private tour of the Northwest Sports Show or anything. Well, you're welcome to join us.
Say if you said, hey, yeah, David and I are going to go, we're going to go. Do whatever. Okay. Sounds good. Thanks. Thanks.
Sorry.
Thanks.
What he's saying is it sounded more like a statement, not an invitation.
You want to come with? There's nothing there that implied, I'll join you. Or I'm welcome to join you. You're going to go talk to somebody. You said you're going to go talk to someone specific, too. So, okay, have fun.
Well, yeah, I thought you'd want to come with. This is the difference, though, with, like, the way Dan and I communicate. Because I'll be like, Dan, I think I'm going to go fish today. Meaning like, hey, do you want to come fish today? And Dan would be like, hey, I think I'm going to go fish today. Can I come? No. I would have said, do you want to come with? I said, I'm going to fish today. But when I say it, it's like, Dan, you're always welcome to join us.
Yeah, you're welcome to join.
Always welcome. Always welcome in my boat.
I'm going to fish today, but we're taking your boat. Yeah,
you saying you're going fishing is asking me to take you fishing. My boat will already be hooked up to your truck. I don't even know it.
You got a nicer boat. Sorry about it. Get a worse boat and we'll take mine.
I don't want to take your boat.
Well, this year when we take your boat up to the Rainy River, we're going to take an actual fishing net this year for the sturgeon. We went and talked to the Stonemaster guys, and this is what we use up at Tazen Lake Lodge too, and they've got a big one, 116 inches. So it's got a telescoping handle, and then the net.
English is a hard language.
Like the hoop folds up, so it's you can stow it, fold it, extend it, fold it, and stow it. So you can have one of those big musky nets or lake trout or sturgeon, whatever you want to do with it, and then it doesn't take up quite so much room in your boat. And the best part, there's a lifetime warranty on it. So since last year we had a little debacle trying to get a sturgeon in the boat, this year we'll get an actual net for it.
Bring your own.
So yeah, we'll bring our own. Since we'll tell the story later with Joe about the net situation last year up there. One of the other products that I thought was kind of cool. This is kind of interesting. This is more if you have a pontoon or a big deck boat of some sort, or a dock, and you've got dogs jumping off the dock and struggling to get back in all the time. This Soul Breeze, they make like dog steps for your dock. And the what makes them unique is that they fold up like an accordion. So you can extend them out to use them, or you can pull them back up, and then they fold back up into the dock. And they basically patented, they built this whole anchor system. So it's like, David, it's like if you built this thing. Like it's super HD, heavy duty, for dogs. It's not for humans. It's just for dogs. I will specify that. But it
sounds pretty speciesist.
Yeah, that's right. Those are cool guys. It was nice because I was walking around the Northwest Sports Show and I got excited because I saw duck decoys and dog pictures, and I was like, what is this? And a lot of guys, they've got a system that's painted camouflage that you can use off your duck blind or your duck boat if you want to put something for your dog to get in and out. So that was kind of cool to see over there. And it was always good just to see guys. And man, Jeremy Smith and a group of us sat with Jeremy, and we talked about forward-facing sonar and barotrauma and all that. And these are subjects that Jeremy has thought about long and hard, and he gave us his entire dissertation. He's like, I'm sorry, guys, I'm just rambling. I'm like, no, it's good. Just keep talking. It was really interesting stuff, and I'm sure he'll talk more about it on his shows, or we'll have him on this one to discuss it all. But in any case, it's good to see everybody at the Northwest Sports Show. Last weekend.
Story about a story.
Yeah, well,
about as good as one of my stories.
We'd need a whole nother show if I explained what he said. So, I don't know. It was a good time. And it was about at 12:30 at night, too. So there might have been a couple words repeated in there. I don't know. But anyway, Jeremy is going to come up later with a video to watch. I saw a video that he put out about some leader material and some tieable leader material. This is a pretty interesting tip. If you're fish for toothy creatures out there, muskies, big northern pike, things like that, this is something you're going to want to learn about. We'll tell you more about that coming up. And David has got his reel to watch from last week on Instagram. It's all coming up on Sporting Journal Radio.
It doesn't get much better than fresh perch and fresh walleye. If you're looking for an exciting winter fishing destination, come to Devil's Lake, North Dakota. Hay Bale Heights Campground and Resort is on the ice with a fleet of snow bears keeping you mobile and warm so you can stay on the roaming schools of fish. Hay Bale Heights on the east end of Devil's Lake has knowledgeable guides, comfortable cabins, and their own lake access, making your trip as successful and stress-free as possible. To book your trip, go to haybaleheights.com. That's haybaleheights.com. This is Sporting Journal Radio, presented by OnX. Know where you stand with OnX.
We're back. This is Sporting Journal Radio. Thanks for tuning in on the network or watching this on YouTube. I'm Brett Amundson, along with Dan Amundson and David Eckhart. Guys, how's it going?
Good.
Still good.
Very good.
Last time you asked.
I care, Dan.
Just checking in.
I care.
You're going to invite me? You gonna actually invite me to go do things, or are you just going to imply?
No, me and David have something to go do, and you're not coming with. Oh, man.
That's fine.
Yeah, I know.
It's okay. All right. Some things to watch. Some things on the internet that we feel are worthy of telling you about, including something that we... So I signed up for the Linder's Angling Edge newsletter the other day, and they sent me a bunch of links to different videos, including one where Jeremy Smith talked about a tieable leader material. Now, when we're up at Tazen Lake Lodge, we use titanium leaders when we're fishing pike out there, because I've watched those pike bite through, wire leaders, fluorocarbon. I watch them bite through like it's nothing. So we're using titanium up there, but a lot of times we're going out and buying the pre-rigged ones. Well, what Jeremy had this tip of is tieable leader material. So I suppose he's buying it in some sort of bulk quantities.
Spool or something, yeah.
Then peeling off, he uses about a foot of leader material, and then he actually will tie it to his main line, which sounds terrible, tying leader material. But depending on what size you're using, he explains the best knot to use, how to do it, and then when you cut your tag end off, you'll have a real sharp piece of leader material sticking off of that. So the next tip that he uses, he grabs this Solarex. So it's a UV cure fly tying resin, and he'll actually take a little drop of this resin from Solar Res. Guys that tie flies use this stuff all the time, and he'll put a little dab on that to smooth it out, cover it up, and then he does it in the shade, because then once it's exposed to light, it cures and hardens. So he'll do it in the dark real quick or in the shade, and then light it up, and it's cured in no time, and now you've got a nice covering on that tag end right there. So then he talks about he won't even use anything on the end, like any type of
snap swivel.
Swivel or anything like that, or clip. He'll actually tie right onto the lure that he's using just to get it to run as true as possible, get the bait to run as true as possible. So there is a video for you to watch. Look for it on Linder's. I assume that was Linder's Angling Edge YouTube channel, probably.
Yep.
Thank you very much. So go check that out if you're looking for something to help you catch some of those big toothy critters. David spends more time on Instagram than anybody I know.
A lot of time to kill.
A lot of time to kill. So we've got a group where we share reels with each other. And it's funny because now it used to be just who could send the funniest one into the group. Now it's like, can I find one that David hasn't seen yet? So, David, what is your favorite reel this past week?
My favorite reel of the week came from Sam Soholt, a public land tease. He had a reel that really connected with me about chasing turkeys, and it's dubbed over from Tommy Boy when they're playing checkers.
Heard it.
It's chess match, but oversimplified to checkers.
I love Chris Farley's look.
There's some days you just can't do anything right.
And they this always, is great. They I've never won three games in a row. I hardly ever played checkers.
Yeah, well, it's kind of easy to win when you never move your back roll.
That's so great. Sam Soholt's got some great stuff on Instagram. If you don't follow him, you probably do, but if you don't, make sure that you follow him on Instagram. I saw something else that was kind of cool. I saw Dave Pauly shared this, and Blue Stem Prairie is by Glendon, Minnesota, and that's one of the best prairie chicken lakes. Now, there's a couple of them around northwestern Minnesota where you can go watch the Booming Grounds and watch these prairie chickens dance. And there's some sharptail ones, too, and there's some out east in eastern Minnesota, but there's also some up by Lake of the Woods, which are really cool. There's a lot more birds up there. But this one at Blue Stem is probably one of the best ones for prairie chickens, and I've done it twice. I've gone out there to Blue Stem twice, and I did Sharpies up at Lake of the Woods once, and it's such a cool experience. If you get the chance to go see it in person, do it. We filmed a couple of TV shows, a couple Prairie Sportsman episodes, and you can watch those. But now they have a webcam set up that looks like it's running 24 hours a day. So the Window on Wildlife web camera is now streaming from a prairie chicken lek on the Blue Stem Prairie Scientific Natural Area. What does it say? This is the second spring. Oh, they had the camera up there last year, too. I didn't realize that. So Dave Pauly, we put this in the Sporting Journal Radio Insiders group on Facebook, all this information. So birds are usually active right away until about 9 o'clock in the morning. I remember just before sunrise, like they want you to get into these things before dark. It's honestly a lot like hunting. They want you to
before
get in
before dark, huh?
Before while it's dark, before sunrise. Thank you very much.
Just get in there at 5 p.m. and watch sunset.
Just stay there overnight, sleep in there. But you start to hear them while it's still dark. You start to hear them coming. And when you're sitting in one of these wooden viewing blinds, picture like a skid fishing shack, you know, fish house with windows. Like you're in a wooden structure with windows, basically, that open up. And when these prairie chickens come in and they make this booming noise, when they fill their air sacs, it makes this, I don't even want to try to recreate the noise because you guys will just make fun of me. But it's like this haunting, booming sound, and it echoes across inside that wooden viewing blind. It's so surreal. It's such a cool experience to see it in person. And you have to reserve a blind. You have to do it way in advance because they fill up very quickly. But if you don't get the chance to go, and this year probably going to have a lot of opportunity because of the early spring that we're having, there is a webcam that you can watch. And I don't know if you, did you pull it up yet, Dan?
I sure did. Thanks for paying attention.
Well, I was reading the stuff here. But what's really neat about this webcam, because obviously you can go on there right now and there's not going to be anything going on, but it'll go back about 12 hours. So if you scroll back, depending on what time of day you're watching this, if you scroll back to about sunrise.
Before dark.
It technically is before dark. It's always kind of before dark. Ever think about that? It's like when
it's dark.
You're stretching there, Dan.
Well, it's like the gremlins. It's like gremlins. You're supposed to never feed gremlins after midnight. It's always after midnight.
It's true.
It's always before dark.
Well, it just depends on what midnight you're talking about, I guess.
It's before midnight. It's always before midnight. 1 a.m. is before midnight.
All right, Dan.
Deep thoughts with Dan Amundsen.
Shower thoughts with Dan.
So anyway, it's kind of cool to check out, and you can see that the Minnesota DEPA YouTube, so I'd assume that's the Minnesota Department of Natural Resources YouTube channel. There is the Minnesota DNR Window on Wildlife webcam set up at the Blue Stem Prairie in Glendon. Right now, you can go check that out. All right, we got Joe Henry coming up here in just a couple of minutes, and also James Holst. It was kind of cool to get James for the show. We're going to talk to him about lithium batteries. Dan, what do you got rigged up in your boat right now for your battery situation?
Right now, I just have three batteries going. Starter battery, two trolling motor batteries, which I run everything else off of. Not ideal.
What do you think if you got lithiums right now, what do you think you'd do?
I have no idea. Honestly, I've not thought about lithium batteries for a boat that much. It's not my price range, to be completely honest with you. It's a pipe dream. I really don't know.
If you won the lottery, Dan, how many screens and how many batteries would you have in your boat?
A lot. I'd probably go into the store and say, give me this, 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 and this.
Well, first off, you'd have a 22-foot fiberglass boat.
Correct. Yeah. Maybe 23.
And then a dozen screens.
That seems a little overkill.
A dozen screens.
With at least eight live scope transducers. You just cover the entire boat. You could just walk around the boat and cast and always see your jig because you'd have so many transducers.
Well, let me ask you this, Dan. How many batteries have you bought for your boat in the last year or two?
One.
That's it?
I think so.
You haven't had to buy new ones each year?
I don't think so. No. Oh.
That's just car batteries?
Yeah. Yeah, I let a car battery die just about every, all the time. That is true. The alternator in the old Ford Escort's not the greatest.
I feel like we're buying new batteries around here every year for different vehicles and things like that. So maybe we'll talk to James about getting a car battery version.
Should I drop a lithium in the Ford Escort?
There we go.
That'd be sweet.
All right, so we'll ask James what you can do about your boat situation, and if those batteries last a lot longer, you won't have to replace them quite as often. So there you go.
Just be nice not have to charge them. Just worry about losing power and everything.
Justify the cost. All right, also, if you're looking for a new truck, well, Toyota Tundra at Invergrove Toyota is the choice that I made, and you should too. They got some really cool Tundras that they custom built just for the outdoorsmen in Minnesota. So go in there and talk to them about it. And right now, they've got some new finance programs out. They got 2.25%. So you want to talk about interest rates right now and how ridiculous they are everywhere? New Tundras, 2.25 for 48 months through Toyota Financial, or 4.25 for 60 months. Those are some great interest rates right now at Invergrove Toyota. Those will only be in effect through April 1st, though. So if you're looking to get great interest rates on a new Tundra, talk to Invergrove Toyota today, and we'll knock $250 off when you tell them that you want the Fish Hunt Forever deal. Find out more at sportingjournalradio.com.
852 million acres of public land, 147 million private properties,
all in the palm of your hand. The number one hunting GPS app just got better. With hundreds of custom map layers, 3D and topographic maps, you can easily scout on the road or at home before you go. And now you can get important weather details, CWD detection, and even know what crops have been planted where. Get the most trusted hunting GPS app ever made. OnX. Know where you stand with OnX.
You're listening to Sporting Journal Radio.
We got Pete with us from Wheelway in Fifield to talk a little bit about maybe that big summer trip you got coming up. Getting that car ready to go, Pete. We got some good promotions to get that car ready, right?
Absolutely. You know, the weather, the winter weather didn't show up, but the roads are still the same. So they put wear and tear on your car, but we got some great deals going on right now.
All right. So get that car in there, all kinds of promotions. And you got to get that oil change, a very affordable $39.95 oil change every day, right?
Absolutely. We're home with a $39.95 oil change plus... The promotion right now is you get 15% over $100 on your service ticket.
All right, 15% off anything over $100. And that oil change, Pete, comes with a complete inspection with that, too. So if there is anything rattling or anything, you guys will check that out, right?
Correct.
All right, $39.95 oil change. Great promotions at Wheelway in Fifield. Get your car serviced, ready for the summertime. How can they do that, Pete? Give you a call down there?
Give us a call, 715-762-2467. The number again is 715-762-2467.
Wheelway Highway 13, Fifield, just south of Park Falls.
Congratulations to my friend and colleague, Joel Karnick, on 25 years of broadcast excellence. Whether you're serving me an extra two brats at the brat stand, putting up with my Green Bay Packer swag, or reminiscing about the pickup basketball games with Rick, I can always count on you to get the job done. Cheers to many more years of success. Well-deserved, Big G.
Wondering how to choose from all your spring break options? Pop quiz. Is your family into monkeying around, airbending on a flying bison, or diving into slime? Or all of it? Mall of America. Go bananas on the new Boots Banana Swing Ride. Take to the sky and fly with Appa. Then get slimed in the Nickelodeon Universe Slimulator. For the littles, cosmic crafts, and more at Crayola Experience. It's the spring break of choice at Mall of America. MallofAmerica.com/spring.
Want to start saving money today? Well, you're in luck. The 98Q Country Shopping Show is always available online at 98QCountry.com. There you can find local businesses such as nice restaurants or fun shops. Located in Phillips, Prentice, Park Falls, Minocqua, Mellon, and many other locations in the surrounding areas. Save money with 98Q Country today.
This weather update is sponsored by Hansen HVAC Heating and Cooling, your local Armstrong Air dealer of Phillips and Manitouish Waters.
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels. Partly cloudy and much colder tonight as lows drop back into the single digits. For your Saturday, some sunshine for the morning, then a few clouds for the afternoon, high low 30s. Cloudy and breezy for Sunday, highs in the mid 30s with snow showers developing, heavy snow possible with a winter storm watch. Right now it's 8 above.
This is Sporting Journal Radio, presented by OnX. Know where you stand with OnX.
Well, it's that time of year. People are starting to think about the Rainy River, or they've already been up there. So we're going to get a Rainy River report and talk about Lake of the Woods with Joe Henry right now from Lake of the Woods Tourism. Joe, how's it going?
Hey, Brett. I'm doing good. How are you, buddy?
I'm not so bad. It's finally the end of show season. That's kind of the way I know your spring or late winter, early spring goes. I guess it's not technically spring yet, I suppose. So the end of winter, it's kind of show season for us, and you're wrapping yours up too, aren't you?
Yeah, I just came home from Sioux Falls. I was in Sioux Falls this past week. We had the Sioux Falls Sportsman Show. Great crowd. Nice people. Good Midwestern folk. Love their hunting and fishing, of course, and But you know what? It was good. We had a booth, and I also gave seminars at this show. And
I know the birds and the anglers are flocking to the Rainy River and Lake of the Woods to start hitting the Rainy for spring fishing. I've seen some big walleyes come out of that river already, Joe.
Yeah, I'll tell you something. I talked to Greg Jones is a river rat, as you know. Greg Jones of Midwest Outdoors. He's a river rat. And he was kind of telling me he thinks a lot of those walleyes might have moved in November, actually, after most people were done fall fishing. But, you know, those fish, I think, were already there, obviously, when ice went out. And, you know, so we got three boat landings actually open. We have Birchdale. The next one down is Frontier. And the next one down from that is Vitus. And I'll tell you what, all three of those boat ramps are open now. I've been getting reports, and I don't hardly want to mention these numbers because some of the numbers are just unbelievable. But I'm talking about three people in a boat catching over 200 fish in a day. Now, that certainly isn't going to happen to everybody. And you could go out there and even stub it, not find the fish, right? But the point is, I've been hearing many, many, many reports of good numbers of fish coming in and some big ones too, certainly. I also have heard that maybe the biggest fish haven't come through yet. It's been the spring so far. And we started, and obviously this is a little bit early to start for the river, and it's been great already, and I think it's only going to get better. So I will say this, it's interesting too. We're having some colder temps overnight this week, so we got some refreezing of the river going on, and what boats are doing is they're pushing out, just breaking that skim of ice as they go out there. And, you know, you got to watch your weather temps. You got to know what you're willing to deal with and what you're not willing to deal with. You know, some people are willing to go out there and in teens and 20s and catch a bunch of walleyes, and other people would rather wait until it gets a little warmer. So just watch your weather forecast, know what you want to put up with, and if you get a chance to go, I should say too, the walleye and soccer season goes through April 14th, so that's kind of the cutoff.
Well, and right before the end of that, every year we have our tournament, April 9th and 10th this year, the SGR 500. Looking forward to that. And you know, this refreezing and this colder weather it may slow down the traffic on the river a little bit, maybe slow down the walleyes, which, you know, if I was going up there now, I wouldn't be happy about it, but I'm not going to be up there for another, you know, couple of weeks. So I'm like, we can just slow down just for a minute. You can't control it. But I will say, if three accesses are essentially open or have opened up, it's nice that we're not, you know, opening them up as we're fishing the tournament again this year, Joe.
It just stays because it divides the traffic. You know, when you see the really, really long lines of trucks and trailers, boat trailers and things, that's usually when there's only one access open. And, you know, it is what it is. But now that we have three accesses open, it divides that traffic up. So it's pretty much easy peasy. You still get a little bit of a walk sometimes, but it's a neat deal. This is tradition. This is the first time people get to splash their boat in a year, typically. And, you know, often this is a time that somebody catches their personal best walleye.
You know, and we're talking a lot of walleyes, but sturgeon has obviously become really popular. And we've talked about it many times. We filmed episodes about Prairie Sportsman, about the sturgeon recovery on the Rainy River and what a healthy world-class population there is up there right now. And there's a lot of discussion about sturgeon, particularly in Wisconsin right now. And I think it's because of the big scary spearing season that takes place on Lake Winnebago, which is an amazing fishery in itself and managed for that particular recreational activity. And it's been that way for 100 years as a way to prolong the Native American tradition of spearing sturgeon on that fishery. But this environmental group has come in, Center for Biological Diversity, and blah, blah, blah. We need to protect these majestic creatures. And we do need to protect them and take care of them and sustain them. But we've got sustainable populations, particularly there and also on the Rainy River. This is kind of a like coming out of left field, isn't it, Joe?
I'll tell you, it's a little bit scary. You know, the DNR estimates that we have over 100,000 sturgeon over 40 inches long in the Rainy River alone. They actually take eggs from sturgeon in the Rainy River and populate other areas with them. And, you know, for an organization to come in and to make a wide sweeping inference that we should stop all harvesting of any kind of sturgeon in the United States. I mean, it reminds me very much of the old St. Timberwolf argument.
Oh, yeah.
You know, if many of our states were able to manage the wolf population on their own, they would have a season, and it'd be a very modest, very moderate season. I believe there are a couple of states out west, Brett, that do can offer wolf hunts, and they get grandfathered in. They get special legislation. What happened there?
Yeah, they changed things. I think Wyoming, Montana, Idaho, I believe, somewhere in there. And I think Wyoming, when all this stuff with the Great Lakes Wolves, so that's Minnesota, Wisconsin, and Michigan, when all this stuff was going down, I think it was Wyoming literally wrote a law that said, you can't put our wolves on the endangered species list. Like the state tried to preempt what might be coming down from the feds and kind of overruled so that they couldn't even discuss it. So they saw it come and they battled them for a long time. And, you know, you can, we don't need to make this a wolf discussion, but you can look at the elk numbers in, I think it was Wyoming or Idaho, and see what happened when wolves were reintroduced there to see what happened to their numbers. And when you talk about sturgeon, you can't make broad sweeping changes and protections because obviously each area and geographical location is different. It's like trying to manage walleyes in Minnesota when somebody says we need a 4 walleye statewide limit. It's like, well, I have no problem with lowering limits in some areas because some areas need that lowering limit, but some areas don't. So it's the same thing with sturgeon or wolves or anything. Some areas the numbers are better or lower. But these people don't care about any of that. They don't care about any of that. They just want it banned because they don't want to see anybody hunt or fish. And that's what the root of this effort is all about. They saw the success with the wolves and what the Humane Society of the United States said. And they went from judge to judge to judge to try to get a lawsuit passed against U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service to try to ban hunting wolves and put protections on them. And they saw the success of that. They said, well, heck, we're going to do this about sturgeon. And they're going to go after wolves. They're going to go after sturgeon. And then the next step, if they're successful there, they're just going to keep taking and taking and taking until their ultimate goal is to eliminate all hunting and fishing.
Yeah. You know, if you'd show me biological proof that we shouldn't be harvesting sturgeon that we do, and you know, up at Lake of the Woods, I'll just speak for our area, you know, you can harvest one sturgeon, either 45 to 50 inches or over 75 inches, one sturgeon per calendar year. And they keep very close tabs. And even the amount of sturgeon that they allocate, that number is never hit. I mean, if you'd show me biological proof that we're hurting our sturgeon population and sturgeon are in trouble, well, then I would probably be for something like this. But, you know, and to your point, too, shoot, we manage almost every individual lake in Minnesota now because every lake is so different, let alone having United States rules to manage any population of anything.
You know, so many animals on this planet are populated at a healthy population because of their benefit to human usage. And you take that away, hunting, eating, things like that, these animals go away. And that's what these people don't realize. Anyway, I could go on and on about this, Joe. But let's just get back to sturgeon. Man, I'm excited to get up there. Last time during the tournament last year, I caught a 60-pounder during the SGR 500. The amount of big sturgeon that are up there in the Rainy River, it's amazing, really.
It is. It is amazing. If I remember, wasn't that sturgeon you caught? Wasn't that kind of a fiasco getting that in?
I don't know if I'd use the word fiasco, Joe. But
maybe because you were the one who all you had to do is fight the fish. You didn't have to do everything else.
I remember we talked, this is almost like a whole show we talked about. What, Danny, I'll ask you the question, Danny. Wasn't it kind of fiasco getting
big time. So I got my daily steps in running back and forth in a 17-foot boat.
The issue was that we were anchored and the ice chunks, the ice flow started coming through as I was fighting this fish. So I had to work through these big chunks of ice that were coming and surrounding the boat in the current. And then Dan was trying to get the anchor up and the trolling motor up. But then what happened, and that was a bit of a challenge. But the biggest problem was that David was supposed to be in a boat right next to us with the musky net or catfish and whatever big net you have. And they were fighting a fish somewhere. So all of a sudden now we're in the boat and Jamie Dittman was supposed to let me borrow his big musky net. And then we didn't connect. So here we are up on the Rainy River all of a sudden with no sturgeon net. And maybe we shouldn't have just fished. Maybe we shouldn't have fished without a net. But I figured out we'll do a tail grab or do a lasso or whatever. And we ended up tail grabbing that thing. But tail grabbing a 60-pound fish and trying to lift it in the boat is not easy, but we got it done.
Hit the weight room.
That might have also been.
Oh, hit the weight room. Wait a minute. You're the one that couldn't lift it in the boat, Dan. You tried three times and finally had to give you my rod and lift it in myself.
Yeah, well, it's your fish. Deal with it.
Yeah.
That's a good net, man.
I was tired from pulling up the anchor.
That also might have been when Joe and Greg had our net.
Oh, they were borrowing it too.
Oh, yeah.
Well, way to play favorites.
Well, that's what it was. We were borrowing, David, we borrowed your net because we had a sturgeon hooked.
Yeah. This year we're bringing our own sturgeon net up this year.
But I'll tell you what though, what does that tell you about the sturgeon fishery? I mean,
it's good.
And this is all one block of time in one day, you know.
Well, there were a lot of nice sturgeon caught during that tournament. I mean, a 61 inch or 60 pounder, whatever it was, that wasn't even in the top, you know, it wasn't even in the running for the top sturgeon that were caught in the tournament. So I'm looking forward to it again, April 9th and 10th. Find out more information at sportingjournalradio.com. Look for the SGR 500 there. And Joe, if people want to plan a trip to the Rainy this spring or start looking ahead for a summer trip, what should they do?
Check out our website, and that is lakeofthewoodsmn.com.
Lake of the Woods, the walleye capital of the world, is calling out to you. From the northwest angle to the south shore and Rainy River, this is the Midwest's number one ice fishing destination. Walleye, sauger, perch, northern pike, and eelpout. The fishing on Lake of the Woods is like a world of its own. Experience the most amazing fishing through one of the many full-service resorts featuring heated fish houses, ice transportation, meal plans, and sleeper fish house options. For more information, go to lakeofthewoodsmn.com.
You're listening to Sporting Journal Radio.
Most of us can agree the decision to have an abortion should be between a person and their doctor. Politicians should have no say at all. Thankfully, Senator Tammy Baldwin is standing up for our rights and working to keep politicians out of our medical decisions. After Roe v. Wade, the court case that protected abortion rights was overturned. Tammy Baldwin introduced the Women's Health Protection Act, which would ensure access to abortion everywhere in the United States, including here in Wisconsin. The bill would end extreme abortion bans that have no exceptions for rape, incest, or the life of the mother, and threaten doctors with criminal charges for providing abortion care. Senator Baldwin also introduced legislation that would protect the right to travel across state lines for reproductive health care and safeguard access to contraception. Call Senator Tammy Baldwin at 202-224-5653. Tell her thank you for fighting back against extreme abortion bans. Paid for by A Better Wisconsin Together, Inc.
While you're out and about this weekend, don't miss the chance to cure your cabin fever and embrace the feeling of spring at Joe's Country Corner and Lori's Floral Center in Phillips, Wisconsin. Explore our vast greenhouses and get a sneak peek at what's blooming for the season. We offer a wide selection of hanging baskets, specialty annuals, vegetables, perennials, fruit trees, shade trees, shrubs, and more. Stock up on pet, wildlife, and bird foods, and remember that fresh flowers are not in bloom yet, but will be soon. Spring awaits you at Joe's Country Corner in Phillips, Wisconsin.
Join us this weekend as we broadcast live from the Phillips Sport Home and Craft Show Saturday with Big G and Darla. We'll be there all weekend at the Phillips High School. Explore over 40 exhibitors and 30 crafters. You can indulge in fights, barbecue, and ice cream. And you can catch the fashion show with the Cowgirl Daisy Boutique. And don't miss out on your chance to win a pair of Brewer tickets plus some Mall of America tickets courtesy of 98Q Country and Civic Media. It's a weekend full of excitement. See you at the Phillips Sport Home and Craft Show this weekend at the Phillips High School. It's free.
Stop by Ross's Sports Shop to make the switch to summer fishing. Ross's has everything you need from line lures and licenses to guide services and the best bait in the state. Ross's Sports Shop on Lake Avenue in downtown Phillips.
Do you hear that? Asthma triggers are everywhere, from dust mites, pet dander, and pollen, to smog and smoke. An asthma attack can strike anywhere, anytime. Be prepared with quick-acting Primatene Mist. Clinically proven to open airways quickly. It's the number one FDA-approved asthma inhaler available over-the-counter. Primatene Mist. Breathe easy again. Use as directed.
Hey folks, it's Big G here at John and Heidi's Happy Days in Kennan, Wisconsin. I just devoured the Saturday night special. Fire roasted prime rib. Picture this, perfectly cooked medium rare prime rib, loaded horseradish potatoes, and a salad bar that's out of this world. Trust me, you've got to try the soups, the crisp greens, and the French dressing. And hey, who can resist those sugar cookies for dessert? Swing by one of my favorite eating spots, John and Heidi's Happy Days in Kennan, Wisconsin, for a meal you won't soon forget.
Wondering how to choose from all your spring break options? Pop quiz. Is your family into monkeying around, airbending on a flying bison, or diving into slime? Or all of it? Mall of America. go bananas on the new Boots Banana Swing Ride. Take to the sky and fly with Appa. Then get slimed in the Nickelodeon Universe Slimulator. For the littles, cosmic crafts, and more at Crayola Experience. It's the spring break of choice at Mall of America. mallofamerica.com/spring.
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels. Partly cloudy and much colder tonight as lows drop back into the single digits. For your Saturday, some sunshine for the morning, then a few clouds for the afternoon, high low 30s. Cloudy and breezy for Sunday, highs in the mid-30s with snow showers developing, heavy snow possible with a winter storm watch. Right now it's 8 above.
The Angie's List you know and trust is now Angie, and we're so much more than just a list. We still connect you with top local pros and show you ratings and reviews, but now we also let you compare upfront prices on hundreds of projects and book a service instantly. We can even handle the rest of your project from start to finish. So remember, Angie's List is now Angie, and we're here to get your job done right. Get started at Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I, or download the app today.
This is Sporting Journal Radio, presented by OnX. Know where you stand with OnX.
Well, the world of technology is constantly changing when you talk about the outdoor world, and particularly in the fishing world. I feel like every year there's more and more technology coming out. It requires more and more power. And when lithium batteries came out, it was kind of a game changer. And we're going to talk about lithium batteries right now in Norsk in particular with James Holst, who joins us on the show. James, how you doing?
Super good. Thanks for having me. I appreciate it.
You betcha. And I want to talk about your transition from TV to Norsk as well. But just, I mean, when you look broadly at what's happened over, say, the last 10 years in the angling industry, it's been pretty dramatic when it comes to technology, hasn't it?
Oh, absolutely. And, you know, it's no secret that I think lithium batteries have played a huge role in it. Now, we wouldn't have electric augers. I mean, you think about from an ice fishing perspective, when was the last time you heard a gas auger out there on the ice, right?
I mean, yeah.
5 years ago, people thought lithium battery powered augers were kind of like a fly-by-night kind of thing, and now they just completely have dominated the entire auger space. I would say the same thing about like a forward-facing sonar. I had the chance to use some of the very first forward-facing sonar units on the ice, and you needed two motorcycle batteries to power them. So I'm as diehard as it gets out there on the ice, but I'm not dragging around 35 pounds of battery and sonar. So if it wasn't for lithium batteries, forward-facing sonar wouldn't be as adopted as it is. And we're starting to see the same type of growth in marine. People are changing the way they're fishing. It used to be in a boat, if you had 2 7-inch graphs on your boat, you were king stuff, right? Mm-hmm. And now guys are rigging 4, 5, 12-inch screens. And what it takes from a battery perspective to run those screens is so different. And that's why lithium's really taken off.
Yeah, I mean, you could talk about power output and efficiency and things like that, but I think just the weight alone, I mean, what a difference. I remember the first time I was at Runnings or something, the first time I grabbed a lithium battery off the shelf, and I was just fully expecting all this weight there. And I think my arm, you know, I grabbed it, my arm just kind of snapped up in the air like that. I was like, oh my gosh, I'm going to have one of these. So just, I mean, just the portability of these batteries, I mean, I think makes them worth it alone.
Yeah, I mean, we've got a 50 amp hour battery that weighs under 7 pounds. You know, it's about that big. You know, that's the kind of battery you're going to want if you're running around out there on the ice with a live scope, right? That battery right there weighs 1.4 pounds. Tiny. Like you said, you pick it up and you almost throw it through the ceiling. We go to sports shows and people are like, is this a real battery? Is this just like a demo? I'm like, no, yeah. That's the battery. You're like a kid.
They feel so hollow.
Yeah. Huge weight savings. On the marine side, you're probably looking at 22 and a half pounds for a 100 amp hour battery that, you know, if you're talking AGMs, you're talking 70 to 90 pounds. So huge difference.
Well, I want to kind of talk about that and, you know, maybe go through some examples of how people are rigging their boats and how they're powering some of the technology on their boats and what suggestions you've had and maybe what questions people come to you with. But let's just back up and start at the beginning. Obviously, In-Depth Outdoors ran for a long time. A lot of people know you from there. How many years ago then did you make that transition over to Norsk?
So I sold In-Depth Outdoors, In-Depth Media Productions, and my ownership in Norsk November of 2022. Hmm. So not that long ago. This is still a pretty new thing for me. If you look over my shoulder, I still don't have my office walls decorated. So I travel too much. But yeah, so just a real fortunate opportunity at a point in my career where, you know, I enjoyed doing the TV show, but I've always been open to new challenges and new opportunities. So I got a chance to sell the ad agency and sold my stake in Norsk Lithium Batteries, and they were both purchased by Seafoam. If you're familiar with the automotive additive company, mm-hmm. They bought them both. So we had been doing marketing work for Seafoam for 10 years, and they were always chasing us to do more work, you know, to commit more manpower to their project. So they finally got sick of me saying, "Nah, we probably shouldn't put all of our eggs in your basket." And they just said, "Fine, we're going to buy you." All right, throw me the briar patch, man.
Wow. So how long had you been doing that?
Oh, we started, we completed 17 years doing the TV show, In-Depth Outdoors. The ad agency, In-Depth Media Productions, we started that in 2001. When I say we, that'd be my wife and I. So that the ad agency preceded the TV show and just kept adding good employees over the years. So we got to a point where the team was, we were at 9 people, and I was able to retain everybody. Everybody that worked for me before the sale still works for me today. So it was just a real great transition, great opportunity. You know, missed doing the show a little bit, but, you know, so much of what I did for companies behind the scenes was I would help them with product development and, you know, testing new products, new augers, new sonar units, new rods and reels. So this is very similar in some ways to what I've been doing for decades, which is kind of making sure to come out with really good products aimed at people that enjoy, you know, spending time in the outdoors.
So that's what you're doing with Norsk, and it's a product development?
Yeah. I mean, like I described myself, I'm the, kind of the head cook and bottle washer. I do a lot of stuff. But I'm primarily responsible now for improving the product line, improving the product offerings, from portable sonar all the way through marine. So at ICAST this year, we're going to release 19 new products. So,
oh, wow.
I have been a very busy beaver for the last, since I assumed product development. We've got a lot of really cool stuff coming.
19 new products at ICAST this year. That's wild. All right, if we can, and maybe you're sick of talking about it at this point, you've probably been asked about it a lot, but if we can just back up just a little bit to the ad agency and the TV show, 17 years with the TV show. I know one thing that you were trying to do was you had a pretty quick turnaround on that TV show, right? Like, how many episodes were you guys doing a year?
We do 26 episodes a year, and we would turn them in the same week. So we would go out on, we'd leave on a Sunday every week. We would travel to our destination. We would film on a Monday and part of a Tuesday if needed. And then we would just hurry our butts back home, get the footage back to the editors. And then we'd film all of our studio segments on a Wednesday and deliver the finished TV show by noon on Friday. So it was as current as you're going to get with a high quality TV show. We averaged over the year somewhere right around 900 to 1,000 miles a week. Jeez. Driving. So when you see those shows we did, you know, we'd be out in Montana one week and the next week we'd be in Ohio. We didn't fly. So a lot of time in the truck. You got to really like the people you're hanging out with.
That's an insane schedule. Like, that's like turning around a TV show. You know, so many of those shows out there do 13 new episodes a year. And they're filming now to put out an episode a year from now.